Today I want to have what I want to call like a little bit of a family talk, all right? Just a little bit of a family talk. I want to share with you what God has placed on my heart, my wife's heart, for a little bit of the direction on where we're headed here at New Life Church. Because I absolutely believe this with everything in me, that as thankful as I am for where we've come from, I believe that our best days are ahead of us. Somebody say amen. I believe that is a promise of God, and I'm excited about that. And so if you would with me, I wanted to put our vision statement up on the screen again, as Sabrina led us into a little bit ago. But I want us to repeat this again together, because the vision at New Life Church has not and will not change. It has not and will not change, all right? And so would you say this with me? New Life Church is making Jesus Lord over Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. Amen. Amen. That is who we're called to, what we're called to do, how who we're called to reach, Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. Now, I wanted to start out this morning by letting everybody know the reason why we are here today is not because of just my parents, 34 years ago, packing it up and launching New Life Church. The reason why we are here today, and that was a big part of it, don't get me wrong, but the reason why we're here today is because when they started this church, there were people who believed in that vision and hooked up. There were some powerful men and women of God who were hungry for a move of God that sold out, went all in with a vision, dedicated their lives to seeing it take place. Let me tell you a story. It's about a bunch of my favorite people, okay? 22 years ago, guy walked in this church named Steve Parsons. Y'all know Steve? A lot of you know Steve. If you don't, you need to know Steve. Steve's a great guy. Went and had lunch with him this past week, okay? So Steve walked in to this church 22 years ago, brand new, seeking God, needing answers. And when he walked in, he happened to meet a couple in this church, a couple named Clyde and Carol Pack. And you know what Clyde and Carol Pack did for Steve and at the time his wife Donna? You know what they did for them? They embraced them, they loved on them, and they took them out to lunch after church. You know where they went to eat? Fazoli's. Amen. Some pasta for Jesus, I guess. I don't know, whatever. But they ate some Fazoli's. And so I was reminded of this story this past week. I was talking to Steve, and we were just talking about some things, and Steve said, this was 22 years ago, and he said, 22 years ago, he said, I stayed because of the Word of God. I stayed because of the love in this church, and I stayed because of what God was doing in my life. He said, but you want to know what made the biggest impact? The fact that a couple loved me like that, took enough time to get to know me. They got me plugged in. If y'all remember Clyde Pack, first of all, he was just a presence of a man. All right, this big, massive presence of a man. And when you shook his hands, it made you feel like a little two-year-old. The guy had hands the size of gorillas. They were so big. You were like... But Clyde was a guy you couldn't say no to. Not because you didn't try. It was because Clyde wouldn't quit. And Clyde and Carol got Steve hooked up, connected here at New Life Church. And 22 years later, Steve is, excited about what God's doing in his life. And what would have happened if it hadn't been for a couple like Clyde and Carol to embrace someone like Steve 22 years ago? See, here's the deal. And I've got to be careful with this because I start all these people. The thing you got to know about me is I'm a new lead pastor here at New Life Church, but y'all know me. I've been around here for a long time. And so I know everybody. I know the stories. I know the families. And I could go through list all the amazing people of God in this church who in that generation embraced the vision and ran with it. People like Clyde Pack, who's now gone on to be with the Lord. People like Elder Dave Mears, Elder Dave and Kay Mears had so many stories of how they took people in and loved people through some of the most difficult situations, just had the love of Jesus Christ burning in their heart. We're sitting on a church property that was bulldozed by Jimmy Gu because of his heart and his passion for this church, all right? I mean, you could go on and on and on. People who I remember, some of y'all may not remember, Dorothy C. Dorothy C., who loved on babies and loved me and my sister when we were little, and she went on to be with the Lord. But I just think about all these people who embraced the vision of God for their generation and ran with it. And I felt like as I was praying out this message, God said, I want you to remind the people that it's a new generation and it's time for everybody in this room to rise up and embrace this vision and embrace this mission the way they did 20, 30 years ago. It's time for us to take our place and run with this vision in 2019. And we've got to own it. We have got to own this vision. We've got to do everything we can to complete ownership to make Jesus Lord over Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, the world. Look in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to share this briefly. I'm not going to preach long today. We've got a lot to do. But I and this is an introduction again, okay? It's an introduction. But Matthew chapter 28, this is the Great Commission. All of us are pretty familiar with this passage of Scripture. Matthew 28, we're going to start in verse 18. Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now stop right there for a second. He says, "All authority has been given to me." In other words, Jesus is making sure that all of his disciples know, hey, you want to know who Lord is? It's me. I told you back in Luke 4, I told you back then that I'm going to come and my purpose here is to set people free, is to bring the deliverance of God, it's to help, you know, reestablish love and strength and healing and all of these things that God stands for and that matter to him. That's my purpose, and he announces it right here in verse 18. So guess what? Mission accomplished. All authority now, all of it has been given to me. I'm Lord, all right? And he goes on and he says, now, because I'm Lord, I can release you. I can give you a mission. And this is what the mission is. Therefore, everybody say this next word with me, go. Therefore what? Go. Go. Everybody, go. Now, did he say, therefore, come to church once or twice a month? Therefore, you know, give once or twice a month. Therefore, randomly and occasionally post something about Jesus on Facebook. No. Therefore, go and make disciples of who? All nations. All nations. He says, this isn't just a gospel for a specific group of people. This isn't just for the people who, you know, you're comfortable talking to. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples. Not just go and be a nice person. Not just go and work real hard, you know, to live the best life ever and you know, and then retire one day and move to the beach and everybody forgets you. No, he says, listen, here's the deal, all right? I am sending you out right here, and I'm giving you a powerful mission. That mission is not just to go and be a good Christian. It's to go and make an impact. It's to take all of these teachings that I've taught, that I've, you know, gave my life for, to take all of the miracles, to take all of the experiences, to take all of this love, to take it and go and do something with it. And he says, what I want you to do isn't just be satisfied with, you know, praying one time for somebody and they had a little bit of a moment with God. No, I want you to work until they become disciples. A disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is not someone who just randomly shows up to church. A disciple is not someone who just randomly reads their Bible. A disciple is someone who has sold out to Jesus. They are living their life on his teachings, following God's plan for their life, seeking Jesus, seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit, doing everything they can to take what God has given them and share it with the world. He says, go and make a disciple. That made me ask, I was praying about this, I was reading through the Great Commission, I was like, man, this is awesome, God. You know, I'm looking for somebody to high five, but I'm all by myself. I'm like, this is so good. But all of a sudden, this huge question popped in my heart for New Life Church. And it was burning, and I wrote it down. I thought, oh my God, how do we know if this is the Great Commission and this is what Jesus has commanded, how do we know we are effectively making disciples in this church? How do we know I'm effectively, as a pastor, training and leading disciples? How do you know that we're efficiently building the kingdom of God, not just by being nice and being good and doing kind things, and all of those things are good things, but how do we know we're making disciples? This was his final command to us before he floated away up into heaven. How do we know we are efficiently doing this? I thought, man, that's a powerful question, God. I'm not real sure. And then I had, because you guys, if you don't know me, I'm a very visual person. Then I imagined a football team. Imagine a football team. I imagine this football team lining up, you know, with the quarterback behind center. He's giving out the commands, giving out the signal, giving out the cadence. Sit. And when he does, everybody just takes off running, going their own thing. And I was like, what am I seeing this for? Like, you had one lineman, he ran to the concession stand to get a corn dog. One guy just sat down. One guy takes off running. Two guys just start having a conversation. And the Lord said, I'm showing you this because, number one, I created you a little weird. Number two, I'm showing you this because this is what the body of Christ looks like mostly. Instead of functioning as a team with a purpose and a strategy and an assignment, everybody's doing their own thing. There's a uniformity. They're all wearing the same colors, the same helmets. They look like a team. But when the play starts, they all do their own thing, and we've got to get it together. And that hit me just so hard. I was thinking, man, dear Lord, we've got to fix this. We've got to fix this. Now, at New Life Church, we aren't just a uniformity church. There is a unity here. And I feel like God has placed us in a position here. I believe we have powerful, powerful word. We have powerful, powerful move of the Spirit. But when I broke it down, I could not answer the question other than people come to church and people serve. I could not answer the question, how are we effectively making disciples? I could not do it. So God started to lay a strategy in my heart. And this is the strategy that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Now, you're going to be hearing a lot more of this in the days ahead. Today is really an introduction to this, all right? But it got me praying, and I was reminded of Amos 3. How can they walk together unless there's agreement? And so we've got to be in agreement here. Our hearts need to be united, not just with each other, but with God and the passion and the strategy for this church, all right? And so I have four core values that I'm going to share. Because when it comes to accomplishing a vision for your life, your vision will never be accomplished unless you know your core values. In other words, what is important to you? What matters most to you? All right? And these four core values are going to shape our vision. They bring clarity to the vision. It's almost like a guardrail as well. It helps keep everything in line. It helps keep us walking this journey and staying together. And so these four core values are so important. And before I get into these, and you could almost call them like a divine strategy or principles, whatever, I'm calling them core values, all right? No matter who comes through the doors of New Life Church or whether we go out of these doors and we go to them, all right? These four core values are going to help clarify and define the way we reach people at New Life Church and that we effectively make disciples, all right? So these are a big deal. Everybody say, this is a big deal. So I need you to remember these. So you write them down. I normally give you handouts, but your lead pastor was busy this week. My bad. Also, I don't have a secretary. My wife was my secretary before, and she's not the secretary anymore, all right? So we're starting that process this week also, all right? And I was like, hey, babe, I called her. I was like, I need you to print these off. She's like, I'm not your secretary no more. So when you get home, spray paint these on your walls, all right? Carve them in your walls. Shave them in your dog. But these are important. And I want you to know, that, all right, we didn't get these from fortune cookies at the Chinese restaurant, okay? We didn't get them because they're a fad or they came from a book. No, these are divinely given to us by God, and they are for this church, and they fit our vision, and it's very, very powerful, and we're excited, all right? So write this down, the first one, you're going to see these four core values all over the place. Number one is the word belong. The word belong. And when I use the word belong, I was praying about this. And when I say belong, what I mean is I really want people to know God, but not just have a knowledge of God. I want them to know that they belong as a child of God in the kingdom of God, and they also belong here at New Life Church. belonging is something that doesn't take place as much in 2019 as I felt like it did back in 2000. All right, a lot of people belong to a social media group or a Facebook group or a little club or all these type of things, but do they really feel like they belong in the body of Christ? And that's something I felt was weighty and important. All right, the most important thing that can happen in your life, and I mean this with everything in me, the most important thing that can happen in your life is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. As parents, the most important thing that you can teach and train your kids is what it means to have a love and a life with Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the most important thing. Nothing comes close to that. That is it right there, all right? That you don't just know about God, you know God. You don't just know about Jesus. You don't just have a coloring book that you can color in and fill in the blanks. You know Jesus. He's not just a story you hear at church. He's a person. He's your Savior who loves you, who you live and you spend time with every single day. That's the most important thing. So I was praying. I said, what's the first thing that matters most about this effective strategy, God? And he said, belonging. Knowing me, a relationship with me. Philippians 3 says that everything else, Paul said, everything else is worthless compared to knowing Jesus. We want people to know, first and foremost, that you belong in God's family and that you belong in this family. That you belong, all right? It's so powerful and so important, and that's what we're all about. You know, the name of the church is what? New Life Church. And so it made sense to me that what we emphasize in this church is new life. What kind of new life? New life in Jesus. New life in Jesus, that we embrace this. Why is that the first emphasis? I'll tell you why. Because in this life and in this world, you know what the enemy can do? He can attack your finances. He can attack your job. He can attack your health. He can attack your family. He can attack your property. The enemy can attack just about anything and everything. But you want to know the one thing that the enemy cannot touch in your life? It is the finished work of Jesus Christ in your heart. He can't touch it. That's why he goes after everything else. If he can get you to quit, then that's how he wins. But he can't touch what Jesus has done for you. That's why the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of my new car, not the joy of my bonus, not the joy of my new job, not the joy of my new girlfriend or my boyfriend. It's the joy of the Lord is my strength. The enemy can't touch that. That's why this matters most. This is so important, all right? 1 Peter 3:18, Jesus died once and for all right? Testify for a moment. Look at somebody beside you and say, Jesus is my Lord. Now look at your second choice, the person on the other side. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. This is what we're called to do. Make Jesus Lord. And Jesus declared it himself in Matthew 18. He said, hey, all authority has been given to me. Guess what? High five. I did it. Now it's your job to co-declare this thing. It's your job to make Jesus Lord in and through your life. All right? Salvation isn't just a thing. Salvation is the thing. It is the thing in this church, and we are going to emphasize, and I'm telling you, we are going to emphasize reaching the lost like never before. We are going after the lost. We are going after your lost sons and your lost daughters, your lost family, your lost neighbors, your lost friends, your lost coworkers. We are going to emphasize seeking and saving the lost in this church like never before. But let me emphasize something, that is not where we stop. It is not enough just to get somebody to pray a prayer. It is not enough just to get somebody to have a moment with God. That is not enough, all right? We're a church that's going to celebrate salvation, whether it's one or whether it's 100. Whether it's 10 or whether it's 10,000, we are going to celebrate salvation like never before in this church. In Luke 15, the Bible says, Jesus was telling a story, and Jesus said, listen, when one person gets saved, one lost is found, all of heaven goes buck wild. Okay, they throw a big old West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, Southern Ohio crazy party. Okay, y'all know what kind of parties I'm talking about. They're clean. Not that kind of party. Clean it up. Barefoot parties. We have fun, all right? But he said, all of heaven goes wild, and so we're going to emphasize salvation like never before. So here's my challenge to you. Here's my challenge to you. And I'm telling you right now, embrace this. Stop being okay and stop settling for people in your life who are not saved. I'm stop being okay with people in your life who don't know Jesus. We all have people who we know, who we've become familiar, we've got relationships, we've got friends with. That doesn't mean you walk out and you've got a big, you know, turn or burn shirt and you just turn or burn and you just turn into a psychopath, okay? But it means you start every single day praying for their souls. You start every single day looking for opportunities how you can be a witness to them. And people receive different ways, don't they? Somebody, it might be a kind gesture. It might be an act of prayer. Somebody else, it might be nothing you've done at all, but you just lived the light in front of them. All I know is this: stop being okay with people who are not saved. On the baseball fields, my kids run cross country on the cross country courses, on the job, at the university, in your high schools and your elementary schools, in the parks, in the malls, and at Walmart. And there's a lot of unsafe people at Walmart. The harvest is plenty. But New Life, we're going to celebrate salvation like never before. And we're going to go after the lost in this church. I mean, with everything we've got, because that's the first emphasis for how we make disciples, is belong. Everybody say belong. Number two, because we don't stop there, number two is grow. Write down the word grow. We want people growing in their faith. We want people finding freedom. We want people getting connected. And so it's not just about getting into the kingdom and belonging to a church family. It's about efficiently making somebody a disciple. And you don't become a disciple overnight. You can choose to follow Jesus and go all in overnight, but it takes time to renew your mind. How many of you have learned that? You don't just have this brand new way of thinking overnight. Now you have a new heart, but you have to get into the Word of God and grow. And so that's the second emphasis, is grow. All right? And I've shared this before, but I have a philosophy that things just work best when they stay plugged in. All right? They work best when they stay plugged in. All right? So I've become kind of a bit of a coffee snob. And I really blame Elder Bill House, and I really blame Tom Lyons for this. It is absolutely their fault, because 3 years ago, I liked the smell of coffee, but you couldn't have paid me to taste coffee. I was like, bleh, bleh, you know, I was drinking dirt. Bleh, bleh. And Elder Bill was like, listen. We were at an elders meeting, and Elder Bill was like, listen, I'm tired of hearing this. Let me help you out. And he said, just try, and he gave me his secret ninja formula for coffee. And he said, try it this way. And I was like, all right. And I tried it, and I was like, not bad. A cup or two a week turned into a cup or two every morning, that turned into a cup or two every 3 hours. Fast forward 3 years later, and I am a full-blown coffee snob, all right? I love it. I love it. Jesus loves coffee. Loves it. So the other day I grind my own beans, and everything. I've got a whole cabinet full of fresh beans. All right, so anyway, I've got a coffee grinder, and I'm going nuts. I'm like, man, what is the deal here? It's not working. I'm thinking, because it's got this specific process to grind these beans, and it's not working. I'm starting to get aggravated. I started shaking the beans. I'm trying to think, what could I do? Could I get a hammer and just smash them to bits, and that'll work? No, that won't work, all right? I'm trying to think. I have a nail file. That'll take me 6 years. That's not going to work either. So I'm like, what is going on? I pull it up, and all of a sudden, I look back, and guess what? It wasn't plugged in. It's not plugged in. So in that moment, I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I'm an idiot, but thank you, Jesus. Plugged it in, get my fresh coffee. Woo, I'm on, all right? Things work best when they're what? Plugged in, connected to the source of power. Makes all the difference in the world. And so this is what growth is all about, all right? We want people connected. We want people growing. We want connecting with each other. Life was not meant to be lived alone. Life was not meant to be lived alone. We are a family here, New Life Church. A family. Everybody say that with me. We are a family. All right? Does family always get along? Come on. No. Family has arguments. There's sometimes family tension. Sometimes we get angry and aggravated. But at the end of the day, what are we still? Family. So we love each other. We forgive each other. We have each other's back. We encourage and build up. And you better not mess with my family. Don't you come after my family, because you come after one of us, guess what you get? All of us. We are a family. We stay connected. That also means this. If life is not meant to be lived alone, when you see someone in this church who is alone, that is a cry for help. That is an emergency. That means in that moment, you choose the greater act of kindness. You could have had a bad day. You could feel like just sitting with your friends. You could feel like just doing your own thing. But if you see someone sitting alone, you do everything you can. Don't just wait for Pastor Josh, who's the hero. No, ain't no hero here. We got a room full of heroes. We got a church filled with them. You see someone who is alone, you go to them. You sit beside someone new. You worship with someone new. Okay, especially when they're here in this church. I don't want to see anybody sitting alone in this church unless they are just mean and they don't want to be with anybody. And even then, you don't just let them push you away. Because I'm telling you right now, in 2019, when you see someone sitting alone, it's almost always a cry for help. They need someone to love on them. They need someone to care, right? Jesus said, John 8:32, that you're going to know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Set you free. All right? Our heart in this church is that you would find and experience the true freedom of God, and that freedom comes through this word. You're going to know the truth. You're not just going to hear the truth. You're not just going to watch the truth on Facebook every once in a while. You're not just going to hear 30-second clips of truth from all your favorite preachers on Instagram. No, you're going to what? Know this truth. This truth is going to be emphasized, all right? One of the saddest aspects of pastoring that I've already learned is that there are people who have been serving the Lord for 20 years. I mean, 20 years and have not grown. You would think that after 20 years, you'd have 20 years of experience, 20 years of wisdom, 20 years of faith, 20 years. No, the problem is they have 1 year of experience that they just repeated 20 times because they never grew beyond that. And man, it breaks my heart. In this church, we're not going to settle for that. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep leading. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep teaching. We're going to emphasize this word of God, and we want people set free. I don't want you stumbling over the same things over and over again. I don't want us struggling with the same thing over and over again. We want you free. We want you free. The Bible says that when Jesus sets you free, you're what? Free indeed. You're free indeed. We want you living free. Not just experiencing a moment of freedom. We want you living, embracing the free life that Jesus Christ gave his life for every single one of us, all right? And so here's the deal. If you're a saved person in here, saved people will what? Save people. If you're saved, you're going to help save people. If you're a free people, guess what? They will free people. So if you've been set free, you also have an obligation by God to help bring freedom to others. And we're going to emphasize this freedom here at New Life Church, all right? Now, I want to elaborate on something. I'm not going to take much longer, I promise you. We got ice cream here, and y'all are already looking at me like you wish you had some in your hand right now. So that's okay. So Elder Billy and Sabrina shared this morning to give us 6 months, a six-month challenge. Remember when they said that? That's a true statement. You come to New Life Church for 6 months, God will absolutely change your life. But let me tell you something about 2019 that's different than 2000 when we started sharing that six-month challenge. In 2019, regular church attendance is not the same as it was in 2000. In 2000, regular church attendance was 4 times a month. People would come a minimum of 4 times a month. They were here every single Sunday. Most people came Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They were getting the Word of God a minimum of 2 to 3 times per week. And in 2019, you want to know what the average church attendance is? Like 1.3 times a month. It's not even 2, 1.3. So that tells me a thing. That tells me that to get the same word in someone's heart in 2019, we've got to be way more intentional than we did in 2000 because people were coming to the church more. Now, I'm not throwing stones, and I'm not angry at people with their schedules and their lifestyles and their busyness and their work and their extracurriculars. I'm not upset at all that. I'm just telling you that in 2019, a part of our strategy for growing is going to be finding clever, creative ways to get this word in people's hearts more often than, you know, just coming to church. We're going to emphasize Sunday worship services, Wednesday worship services as much as we possibly can. But we're also going to do everything we can to make this word available so that we can grow people outside of these four walls. Because people just aren't coming to church. To get the same word in 2019 that people got in 2000, listen, it would take 18 months. Give us 18 months. And because they're not coming to church as much. They're not receiving the word nearly as much as people used to. So we've got to change our strategy a bit. So we're going to be rolling out, and this is not the day to share all this. This is just the introduction. We're going to be rolling out some different ideas and new ways to get people to experience the freedom of God and the truth of God. And when we do, all I'm simply asking you to do is support it, share it, embrace it, all right? Embrace it. Hold on to it. Again, do everything you can to help, all right? For example, some of the new things that we're going to be doing to help grow here at New Life Church, I will elaborate on these two things, is not for the next month or two, but we're going to be rolling out a brand new men's ministry at New Life Church. And men, we're not just going to have one breakfast that we have, you know, every 6 months. All right, we have a big vision and a big heart to really unite the men here at New Life Church in a way that we've not done in a long time. And so we're excited to be able to launch this. We're going to be launching it. It won't be here for the next couple months, so I'm going to ask you guys to be patient because we're still forming some things and getting it together. But the men at New Life Church, we need to get you guys hooked up. We need to get you guys together, all right? And so initially, I'm going to be leading this ministry, and as we raise up new leaders, some guys will be taking over. But there are some really awesome men of God in this church who have a heart to really help men. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, to help us really sharpen each other and grow in our faith. And it's something that we're rolling out. My wife, God has given her a tremendous women's ministry. She's actually way further ahead in this than I am. And she's going to be launching a brand new women's ministry at the women's conference. And you ladies, get ready. Get ready. It's going to be life-changing, powerful for the women of New Life Church. But these are just a few of the emphasis that we're going to be placing here in the coming year here at New Life Church, all right? So we have belong, and then we have grow. The third one is serve. The third core value is serve, all right? Everybody in here needs to know that you have a God-given purpose. Every single person in here. There's not a person in here that doesn't have a God-given purpose, all right, or a God-given gift, or a God-given assignment, or a mission, all right? And that also means this, because you've got a God-given purpose, you are anointed. You're anointed by God to accomplish it. You're anointed by God to fulfill it. You're anointed by God to be used by God. In a moment that you don't feel like anointed, guess what you still are? Anointed. In a day where you had the worst day ever, guess what you still are? Anointed. Because the anointing is not based on your feelings. The anointing is based on the power of God and the need right in front of you. So there are days where I have had the cruddiest day ever. But God has anointed me in that moment to make a difference. And I've just allowed the anointing to flow through me. And thank God for the anointing, because if it weren't for the anointing, I'd have probably told somebody off. I'd have beat the horn. Thank God for the anointing. Amen. But at New Life Church, a big part of our mission and efficiently helping us to accomplish this vision is to help you discover your purpose. I've heard a lot of people over the last couple years especially say, I want to do something, I just don't know what. I want to do something, but I'm not sure what to do. Well, we're taking it as a part of our mission to help you find and figure out and discover whatever those gifts are, whatever your assignment is, whatever God has uniquely placed in you. Because everything you have right, everything you need to fulfill this purpose, God's placed in you right now. It's in you. We just got to help you discover it and let it be released and let it multiply and grow. And so everybody has a God-given assignment, and we're going to do everything we can to help you serve. And not just serve in the church, but serve Jesus outside of the church. All right, Jesus said, if you give a cup of water, do it in my name. Whether you serve that cup of water here or you serve that cup of water out there, just do it in the name of Jesus. But no matter what, serve. Serve. This is what Jesus said in Luke 4. Again, he said in Matthew 20, he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to lead you, show you what it means to serve. And so that's a part of our strategy, is we're going to help you discover your gifts, your spiritual gifts, your strengths, as well as weaknesses. And then we want to begin to place you and help you and allow God to use you as effectively and efficiently as possible. And so we're going to begin to roll out opportunities for you to grow and discover these gifts. There are spiritual gifts in this church that have yet to be released. And it is my mission to see those gifts released in and through your life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Number four, we read it out loud in Matthew 28. It is the word go. Go. You know, you and I, again, we're anointed by God, but we are not just saved from something, we are saved for something. And so when I say go, what I want you to do is I want you to be empowered, strengthened, anointed, equipped to go make a difference. Jesus, he said, go. Go and make disciples. You go. Don't just wait on Pastor Josh. Don't just wait on Pastor Megan. Don't just wait on the elders and the leaders. You go. You go and make disciples. You go and heal the sick. You go and mend the broken hearts. You go. You are anointed by God. And let me tell you something. In the world we live in, the enemy's doing everything he can to discourage you from going. Because there are a lot of people who don't think they think to themselves, what difference can I make? Let me tell you something. You and I, we've got the answer that this world needs. We've got it. We've got it. For some reason, we've been keeping it and we've been holding on to it. But it's time to let the secret out. The answer that this world needs is Jesus. It's Jesus. And we've got to do everything we can to go. And so that is a part of our strategy now, is to absolutely go and shape this world. In Matthew chapter 10, they'll put this on screen. Don't worry about turning there, okay? Matthew 10, 5 through 8. This is what Jesus said. He said, the 12 he sent out with the following instructions. Don't go among the Gentiles or enter into the town of Samaritans, all right? Go to the lost sheep of Israel. Who? The lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who are sick, who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. So what? Freely give. Freely give. Jesus is saying, listen to me. You can go. You can make a difference. The church is not a building. Who is the church? We are the church. We are anointed by God, equipped by God, called by God, assigned by God, released by God to go and make a difference in Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. And what gospel are we proclaiming? We are making Jesus Lord. Jesus is your answer. And we're going to do everything we can to make a difference. Let me tell you something, New Life. It is time to go. It is time to blow the walls out of this building. We have a community that is desperate and dying, and right now, the loudest voice is not ours. That day is over. The new day at New Life is today. This voice that God has given us, is about to be the loudest voice in this tri-state region. The voice of faith, the voice of the gospel, the voice of love, God's love, the voice of the Spirit. And we're going to speak with this voice that God has given us with all boldness, and we are going to go make a difference. We're going to go make a difference. God has strategically positioned New Life Church to make such an impact in this tri-state. I am thankful for the generations before. I am thankful for where we've come from. But I am so excited and passionate about where we are heading, where we're going, and how God's going to do it. Jesus said, go. So that means this. The challenge is, you've got to get uncomfortable. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to be willing to do things that you haven't been willing to do. You've got to be willing to pray. At times, you've not been really willing to pray lately. All of us, we've got to get a little uncomfortable. But guess what? God's in the discomfort. His Spirit's in that. And most of the time, he's the one compelling or drawing or pushing or leading you to get uncomfortable. But I want a church that's comfortable being uncomfortable. We're willing to do what most other churches and what most other believers aren't willing to do, and we're ready to go. Whenever God says to go, we move, all right? I know this. God has been placing in our hearts bigger dreams than we ever thought possible. Bigger dreams for you and your family, bigger dreams for this church, bigger dreams for marriage. And when I close my eyes, I begin to see so much. I begin to see so much. Do me a favor. Do this with me right now. Close your eyes. When you close your eyes, what do you see? What do you see? What's the vision that you see in your heart? See, when I close my eyes, New Life Church, you know what I see? I see a church filled with people fired up for the kingdom of God, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, loving those who have been lost, those who have been left out, those who have been displaced, those who have been hurt. I see a church that is doing everything they can to reach and save the lost. I see broken families coming in and being restored. I see marriages being repaired and restored. I see sick people being healed at New Life Church. And you know what? I don't just see it happening in this service. I see it happening in your homes. I see them happening in the streets. I see it happening in the classrooms. I see it happening on your jobs. That's what I start to see. I see addictions breaking. I see that. When I close my eyes, I can't stop seeing it because it's the vision that God has placed in my heart and it is burning. I see people accepting and embracing the purpose of God in their life and finding their place in the church and being used by God both in and outside of the church. I see blessing upon your life. I see favor upon your life. I see new businesses launching. I see new missionaries being launched out of this church. I see churches being planted out of New Life Church. I see a church that's filled with the Spirit of God, and we're not ashamed of it. I see a church that is absolutely burning to see this city, this tri-state, this nation, this world come into the kingdom of God. I see a church that is willing to do whatever it takes. I see every single person in this room, I see every one of you fulfilling the purpose and plans of God in your life. That's what I see. Open your eyes. What do you see? What do you see? We start thinking, all right, Pastor Josh, belong, grow, serve, and go. Okay? Belong, grow, serve, and go. What do we need now? What can I do about this, Pastor Josh? What this means for each and every one of us is this. If Jesus is your Lord, and if you love this church, I mean, you love this mission, and you love this word, and you really want to see this vision accomplished, what this means is we need each other. We need you. We need your gifts. We need your hands. We need your mouth. We need your eyes. We need your sweat. We need it all, your work, your time. We need you giving and supporting. We need you serving. We need it. And if this church is your church, then we need you.